Well, great to be back in front of this fine, outstanding young, well, youngish gentleman again.
I'm looking around behind me. Who is this person you speak of?
I said youngish, mate. It's our gardening guru, Scotty Sharp, mate. Welcome back to the building.
Thank you. It's always great to be back here.
Now, I know you've got a big hour of gardening talk back today, but we'd love to kick it off with some calls, would we not?
We always love callers. We love answering questions. It's what we thrive on.
Gardening talk back is the name of the game. Our gardening guru, Scotty Sharp, is here. As are you, Michelle, at Cameron Park. You have a question for Scotty in and around fertilising. What's going on?
Yes. Hi. Thank you, Mark. Hi, Scott. I'm just making an inquiry, fertilising staghorns.
Yes, you have to be really careful with staghorns. They're a pretty touchy little plant. Yeah, yeah.
I have a friend whose father is an elderly man, and he has two of the biggest, magnificent stags you've ever seen, and he uses sea salt on them.
Yes.
What do you reckon?
That's not going to hurt. I mean, typically sea salt is, most suitable for the root system of plants. It's always going to create and help and make a healthy plant. I've also heard of the old trick of just tossing, sort of half a rotting banana in the top and letting the rotting banana just flow down through the stag and feeding it that way. That's probably the safest way to do it. You might also get a little bit of blood and bone. I know probably enough just to fit in, depending on how big the plant is, but I'd say, just enough to fit into the palm of your hand and sprinkle that down inside the stag and then just water that through. It's blood and bone is a really lovely, safe fertiliser, very sort of gentle fertiliser, let's put it that way, especially for native plants. So it's quite a good one to do. So, yeah, try the old banana skin, half banana. You can try the sea salt as well. Or you could try that blood and bone. You probably wouldn't do all of them at once. You might just want to mix that around to give the plant a nice, healthy choice.
So what's the best time to fertilise and do it all year round or just in the warmer months or... What's the setup there?
Oh, look, in truth, you can do it all year round with the stag. Of course, you're going to get your better growth during the warmer months, so you'd probably try and time it for that. At the moment, you'd probably leave them alone. Not much is going to happen now for, let's say, next 3 or 4 months, I reckon. So you could probably just leave it be and, then give it a good fertilised come around August.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you so much for that.
And thanks for the call, Michelle. Appreciate it.
Yeah, best of luck with everything there, Michelle. I have to say, though, Scotty, Michelle is going to be hard-pressed to find the bananas at that very end of their life because Kev likes them that way.
Oh.
Yeah. I personally, yellow with the slightest tinge of green at the ends, but Kev will walk in with a banana and it'll be like nearly completely black and it'll be like, what do you think of this one? Give it to Michelle because she needs it, Kev.
Yeah, look, and I just don't like bananas. Full stopperoo.
Right, okay.
Yep, no.
So Michelle can take yours as well.
Yep, and tomato sauce as well. That's the other thing. It's like battery acid. I get it on
horrible.
My skin, tomato sauce, no way. Yeah. Tomatoes love them, though.
Yeah, tomato paste, I could drink that as a hot, tasty beverage, like on the pizza, but a tomato sauce, it's foul.
Yep.
All right, let's get off the food and back into gardening talk. Back with Tom at Aberglass, and you have a question for Scotty, Tom, on daffodil bulbs. What's going on at your place?
Good afternoon, everyone. At the end of season last year from a hardware store, I bought 50 King Alfred daffodil bulbs. They're in a brown paper bag because it was the end of the season.
Yep.
So I opened them the other day, coming on time to plant, and they're like an onion. I'm going to plant them in rectangular tubs.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to peel those onion skins off, or can I just bung them in as they are?
No, just bung them in as they are. You don't need to go and do that with the bulb. Some magical way with, all that energy that's stored in there, the little green shoot, it will find its way up and out of the soil. So, no, look, you don't have to do that at all.
I don't need to put them in the crisper or anything like that.
Yes, you can do that. You can try and trick them that it's a little bit colder than it actually is by putting them into the crisper part of the fridge. But look, otherwise, no, don't go peeling them or doing all of that. If you do want to try and trick them, do so. But honestly, daffodils, they're just so tough. You probably don't even have to use the old crisper trick, although we have had some warmer weather at the moment. Maybe give it a go, but really they're a tough old plant. They'll grow out of anywhere.
Yeah, well, we had 28 degrees here yesterday. Like, that's exceptionally warm for, autumn sort of thing.
It's all got to end eventually, and the plants are going all weird. That was the other thing I was going to just quickly mention. We're talking about autumn, Tom. I was noting all the deciduous trees in Newcastle. They never seem to go orange or beautiful colours. They just sort of go brown and drop their leaves. And I think that's because we do get these weird and wonderful, sort of warm days around this time of year when they really should be starting to get some colour about them.
Yeah. I can't guarantee I'll get 50 out of it because some of them look like they might have withered sort of thing. Yeah, but I'm going to have a go anyway. Okay.
If you've got a bargain, you might as well give it a try.
Right. Okay, thanks, Scott. See ya.
Good on you, Tom. Thanks, mate.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Tom. Gardening Talkback with Scotty Sharp continues. And g'day, Margaret from Anna Bay. You have something going on with your passion fruit vine there. What's going on, Margaret?
Good morning, Mark and Scotty. It's for my sister. She's got this big passion fruit vine and it's got so many flowers all over and but they just drop off all the time and doesn't come to any passion fruits.
Oh, okay. And where's your sister living?
Barnsley.
Sorry, where was that? I didn't quite...
Barnsley.
Excellent. Sorry about that. I actually didn't catch that. Barnsley, that's interesting. At the moment, if your passion fruit vine's got flowers on it, you might as well pick them off. It's far too late now, even any fruit that's sitting on there. Definitely pick that off as well. I think the thing with passion fruit is they really need to be constantly fed. They need lots of potassium. So you get sulfate of potash. And so around September time, you just start fertilising with sulfate of potash pretty much every month. And that actually makes the flowers much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't drop off like they have been. So sulfate of potash, just some general fertiliser as well, and she'll just have much better passion fruit and stronger passion fruit.
From about September.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, the sulfate of potash.
Yep.
What's the soil like out there at Barnsley? Is it fantastic or?
It's in a raised garden bed.
Okay. Now, look, that also could be presenting a touch of a problem in that anything raised, water wants to find its natural level and a raised garden bed will dry out and drain away a lot quicker. And that could also be the reason that it's dropping its flowers.
Yeah. She's very fussy about watering the garden and she's got strawberries growing and tomatoes, little tomatoes, but they're all starting to go off. But the passion fruit vine is big and there's so many flowers on it. And I said to her, I don't think you got the right time of the year for passion fruits.
Well, certainly not at the moment. It's just getting too cold and they won't ripen. But come September, start with that sulfate of potash and make some nice strong flowers.
Margaret, believe you just wanted a quick bit of info on chocos. What were you wanting to find out there?
It's my sister again. She wants to grow chocos. And she keeps buying, when she can find a choco, she'll buy them. And I said to her, really? Because she put the choco in the ground. I said, no, you've got to let it grow a stem out of it first. So I just wanted to see if that's...
Oh, and look, she should be able to even harvest the seeds out of the choco. Look, they will grow on the side of a shed, so they'll grow almost anywhere. But look, you need a proper full sun position for your chocos. She probably could almost cut the choco in half and sort of plant that in the ground, let the seeds take off on their own. Or if she wanted to, she could harvest the seeds out of there and dry them out in a paper bag and go that way.
Oh, I'll tell her that. She's been going on about wanting to grow chocos for so long.
And Margaret, make sure she puts you on the payroll because you've done double duty for her today.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Margaret.
All right, best of luck there. And Steve from Madawi, you've got a question on daffodils and citrus trees, Steve.
Yeah, how you going, gents?
Yeah, good, mate. How can we help you?
I read somewhere I've got an orange, a lemonade and a lemon tree.
Yes.
And I'm supposed to mulch underneath them a bit to keep the weeds out, but I don't do that. And I read somewhere that if you plant daffodils underneath those kind of trees, that they tend to keep the weeds out And I just wondered whether it'd be, before I do it, I thought I will just ask the guys that know what they're talking about. So what's the story?
Well, you better ask Mark then, right?
No, you don't ask me. Scotty's the man for you.
that's an interesting idea. I think it probably would keep the weeds out if you had a really nice big thick clump. But you're only going to have it for sort of half the year, of course, because that's the time the daffodils will be there. I had to get that out there.
The daffodils. They're a punk rock band.
Yeah, the point is, can I leave the bulbs just – once you plant a daffodil, do you have to take them out every year or can you just leave them in there?
No. You can leave them in the ground. Look, when I was living over in Carrington, I had, jonquils underneath the trees. Never took those out and they just kept on flowering, year after year after year. Same with daffodils. Look, the only thing I'd say about that, though, is that citrus are fairly heavy feeders. And where – you're up at Madawi, are you, Steve?
Yes. I'm up on the hard soil on the clay rather than the
excellent.
Sand.
Okay, I was going to say that because I know it's pretty sandy up there. Look, the only thing I'd say about that, citrus, really heavy feeders, so you need to be feeding them with poultry manure, probably three or four times a year, nice and regularly. Are the daffodils going to, sort of try and poach that nutrient as it goes past them? Probably. That'd be my only sort of downside to it.
Okay, well, I might just have to get out there and weed and mulch and continue with my present plan.
Yeah, or the other thing you could do is you could do a little test run on one tree and see how that goes. And if it's all working, pretty well after a year or 18 months, then you could go for all the trees and see how they all go.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah, I might do that too.
Yeah.
And one point, that lady that rang up about the chocos, I always wanted to have a choco vine. I finally grew one. Just from sitting on the windowsill for a couple of weeks till it sprouted. And then I didn't have to worry about giving them to the neighbours because the damn thing went over every fence I own.
the choco does not know how to stop growing, does it? It just goes and goes and goes.
No, I was climbing on my neighbour's garage roof to get rid of it after a while. It was a wonderful plant, but I ended up giving them all to... survivors are up out of Cardiff. I had boxes of the thing.
Yeah. I think it's one of those, as a cooking fruit, I think it just takes on the flavour of whatever you put in there. So, stick some apples in there and you've got some apple pie.
Yeah, and they certainly don't respect those council fence boundaries either, do they?
They certainly don't. There's no DA for that, Joko.
Definitely not. Maybe the new mayor can have a crack at that, maybe.
Perhaps he'll fix that up.
All right, good on you, Steve. Thank you so much for that. And we're heading to Phil. Now, Phil says that you're from Inverell. You're listening to us way up there at the top or are you down in the Hunter at the moment?
Oh, actually, it's Stroud right now, but that's okay.
That's fine. Excellent.
That's far enough away for us.
All right. What's going on with you?
I planted about 30 cypress leylandii a year ago along two back fences just for a bit of privacy. And they've done nothing. They just sat there. They haven't grown. A couple have grown a bit, but they haven't overwatered or underwatered. And I've tried fertilizer like blood and bone on them. They're doing nothing. I just don't know what I've done wrong. The soil I'm in is slightly alkaline, but not too bad.
Yep.
Don't know what I've done wrong.
No, that's all right. They can be a little bit slow to sort of take off and establish, but once they do, they will get going surprisingly for you. Is it clay soil, though, or is it...
It is a bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's probably going to slow them up a touch, just trying to find their feet and get their roots out through that clay. I would just keep on fertilising them. You could be using Sea-Sol as well. For those, because that's actually going to promote the root system of the plant. So probably not a bad idea to do that. And then just generally some cow manure around each plant, and that'll really give them a good old feed. It'll also attract, it's organic matter with the cow manure, so it attracts worms into the area. The worms then go down through the clay, aerate, break it down, introduce more organic matter out of their bums into the soil, and you just get generally healthier soil. So
that's great.
Yeah, so some manure and the sea soil just for that immediate effect with the root system.
Thanks for that. There's plenty of cow manure around Inverell anyway.
I'm sure you'll find a couple of cows to tie up to those trees.
Okay, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Phil.
I appreciate it. Phil, all the best to you, Phil, and make sure you got us on the app when you get back up home this week. Listen to Scotty Well, the weeks of Scotty's here, I suppose. That's what, one in eight these days, is it?
Oh, if I'll run out of fingers sometimes, but we'll get there. Don't right. go more than eight, please.
Appreciate it, Phil. G'day, Vanessa at Mayfield. You have a question about frangipanis. What's the story, Vanessa?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Yeah, pretty well. How can we help you?
Well, yeah, I live in Mayfield where there's a lot of frangipanis.
Yes.
I have this frangipani in my front yard. I don't have a very big front yard. It's the only plant in the front yard.
Mm.
And it's too big. Like, I've pruned it a couple of times and it's just out of control now. It's taking up the whole yard. And I think I want to get rid of it completely.
Yes.
Because it seems like when I prune it, it just gets bigger. And I want to plant something there, but I've got no idea what. Like something small.
Yep, okay.
Because otherwise it might look too stark.
Yes, okay. I mean, you can prune frangipanis back fairly heavily. They have a bit of an odd shape about them when they come back. You don't get that really nice canopy effect that, you know, most people like. But if you do want to get rid of it, you might be best to try, you know, some sort of, you know, lily pilly, for instance. There's lots of dwarf varieties of those. And they'll provide some screening for you as well. You can also prune them pretty heavily if you need to. Another plant that is really great and it flowers at this time of year is Tibuchina Alstonville. It's got beautiful purple flowers on it. Again, a plant that if it gets too large, you can hack it as hard as you want, you know, almost back to the ground. But those buggers, they'll just keep on growing for you. So, yeah, lily pilly, Tibuchina, there's a couple of suggestions for you put in the spot of the frangipani.
Yeah, thanks. I did have a lily pilly once. Actually, that got really huge, so maybe it wasn't a dwarf.
Yeah, there's lots of different varieties. There's ones that'll get to 12 metres, but equally there's varieties out at your local garden centre that will just get to, 3 to 4 metres, and again, you can just take, the heads off those and they're very, very prunable. You can turn them into topiaries if you want to. You can make a beautiful little swan or something like that.
Oh, yeah. What about the Tibuchinas? I did try to grow one of them once, but it didn't take off. Can you get them in a dwarf variety?
You can, but look, it's a very dwarf variety. It's called Tibuchina Jewels, and it only gets to about a metre tall.
Okay.
Yeah, so you want something a little bit taller than that, you're probably just best to get the big one and keep it heavily pruned.
Best of luck with everything, Vanessa. It sounds like you'll be looking at a nice blank canvas very shortly.
Well, if you take a big frangipani out, it's probably going to look a bit blank.
All right, thank you so much. And I'll tell you what, if we're going for our suburb of support this week, Scotty, I think Mayfield's where we're at.
It is. Mayfield, go Mayfield.
Mind you, we've gone further afield. We've gone as far as Inverell and Stroud, so
we're back to Mayfield, my grandfather's old stomping ground, so...
Excellent. Go Mayfield. G'day, Graham from Mayfield. You have some questions about lily pillies. What's going on, Graham?
We're Mayfielians there, boys.
Mayfielians. Love it.
Yes, I have a large lily pilly that the tree lopper told me it was that we had to have removed from our backyard, which is fine. It was just becoming an issue with the fence and the sewer. But the boys have lopped it and they've ground the stump. But we now have the little shoots starting wanting to pop up everywhere around the area.
Yeah, yeah.
How do I kill off the lily pilly?
Yeah, that's going to be a difficult one now. I reckon the best thing to do when you're going to get a tree cut out like that and something that's going to try and reshoot is to get it taken down to the stump, and then you drill and poison the stump with tree and blackberry killer and a bit of kerosene mixed in with that. It sounds like you've gone past that point now.
No, not really. I still have access to the stump, to the bit that's ground down. I've dug down and found it all, thinking I'll just cut the roots around it and that will stop it shooting at all different points around the yard.
And how long ago was it actually ground?
Oh, it'd be probably 3 months.
Okay.
It's not that long.
Look, it's not going to do you any harm. I'd jump out to your local garden centre and get some tree and blackberry killer. You've probably got a power drill there. Just get a really nice big, doing the old hand thing again, nice big, drill.
Yep.
Drill bit.
Yeah, big drill bit.
I'm a carpenter, so yeah.
Oh, well, we're giving the wrong person advice about drill bits then. I'd be doing that. Drill down into the stump until you try and get back into, hopefully you find some soft wood again. You know how it sort of hardens off once it's been pruned, you know.
Yeah.
See if you can do that. And then you pour the tree and blackberry killer in. It then soaks down through the plant and down through the root system.
Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully it'll kill off those shoots for you. If you can trace some roots along, you can also drill into those as well. And you're probably going to do that fairly easily because you're going to find those shoots coming up. And it's, there's a root in under there. Have a bit of a scrape around there and see if you can find a root to drill into, pour some of that poison down into it. If you go away for a couple of hours, you'll find once you get back, all that poison will have soaked down through there.
Yes.
Top it up, and that should do the trick for you.
All right, then. So it's tree and blackberry.
Blackberry killer, yes.
Right out. Yep. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for that, Graham. Appreciate it.
Best of luck for you, Graham. Now, Scotty, we're still sticking with Mayfield, where we've got Joe this time around. And, Joe, you've also got a stump there. What's going on, Joe?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you were just talking to my husband. I didn't want to hang up because I thought that would be rude.
Oh.
But I didn't even know he was. He's working on the Central Coast today, so I didn't even know that he was going to ring you. But now that I've just heard what you've suggested, I do have one question.
Did he give us the correct information, though, or are we now at the source?
Have we got to fix what he started?
Yeah. So it was more than 3 months ago that the tree was, the stump was grinded.
He's in trouble there.
But my question now, though, is because you've answered everything, which is fantastic.
Yep.
But my question is, with the tree and blackberry killer, I'm concerned, and drilling down and it affecting the root system, I've planted in a couple of Green Dream native ash trees.
Yes.
They won't be harmed by that, will they?
No, so the idea is it's going to stay contained within the plant rather than you putting it into the soil, yeah.
Brilliant.
That's why I'm saying drill those holes. He's a carpenter, your husband. Yes, we learned that as well. Has he told you that or is he keeping that a secret?
Yes, no, he has told me that. Okay, well, that's brilliant. So my trees are fine, and then we can just drill into that stump then.
Yep. And look, I think he said 3 months. When you get home, how long have we been married? See how long he says for that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Funny.
Oh,
okay. Well, thank you very much. You've answered my question.
Thank
Brilliant.
You. We've answered it twice
now.
we're happy to do it.
Just when, okay. when he gets home this afternoon, Joe, obviously there is now going to be a test on this. So,
well, I've made notes. So I'm interested to compare the notes with him now.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank
Best of luck
so
with
much,
everything.
Guys. I appreciate it. Thank
Cheers.
You. Bye-bye.
What do you reckon? Question one is, Scotty, how long has the stump been an issue? Question two, when do we get married? Year, month, and
yep.
What the weather was like?
Yes, yeah. He might ring back and try and
we'll just get a message. Yeah, thanks for nothing, everybody.
Yeah, guys. All
right. And it's gardening talk back for the next couple of minutes with our gardening guru, Scotty Sharp, who was basically spending this afternoon bringing couples together, we think.
We think. We hope we haven't sent Joe and Graham on a path away from each other.
Well, I mean, if you've put your other vocational hat on that in the world of law these days, maybe one of them will be using your services that way.
I try.
You don't do divorce law, do you?
Sure I do.
You do?
I truly hope, though, that the Graham was taken. It's all down to Graham now. He's the one, he's in the hot seat at the dinner table tonight.
Question one, Graham, how long has that stump been a problem? Question two, when did you get married? All right. After that, I think you'll be fine. But, Scotty, you did have a bit of a strawberry boo-boo very recently, you alluded to earlier.
Yes, we've been in the realms of, moving house at the moment. We've been looking after...
Isn't that a fun job?
It's not, no. But we've been looking after some friends who have a beautiful garden over in Carrington. I've actually had to do some lawn mowing again, which has been quite exciting.
Okay.
He's got one of those electric ones. It worked out a treat. I've also done some fairly heavy pruning for him. He might be a little bit surprised when he gets back.
The place look a bit different.
It does look a touch different. I also killed his strawberry plant.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, But
see, Graham, all of a sudden, the fact that you couldn't remember the stump is not too much of a problem, is it?
As long as you didn't kill Joe's strawberry plant, that's the main thing, Graham. But look, I did kill the strawberry plant. It was actually in one of those sort of hanging pots, and I think that's a great place for a strawberry plant because you don't get the snails and the slugs coming in and doing all the eating. They trail down. You don't get, you know, pest and disease. You don't get fungal problems as well. The main thing is, though, and this is where I failed dismally, is in the watering aspect of it. There is a bit of watering system in the house. I just let the battery run flat.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So. Other plants made it. We managed to do the old CPR, the strawberry plant up in the hanging pot. But I just went straight down to the local garden centre and just put some, you know, beautiful, fresh, new ones in there. He's going to come home and just think, oh, my God, those strawberries. Look what Scotty's done with those. He's...
So they obviously that message hasn't been delivered yet that I've buggered up your strawberries.
No, there's a time zone between where we are and so.
That's not going to save you.
No, that's true. Modern technology.
How good were those? The strawberry, the quality of them, do we know if they were, was amazing quality or what?
Oh, look, in my defence, it was looking a bit tired anyway. That's why I think he's going to come home and go, oh, wow, these are just fantastic strawberries.
I think the word rejuvenation might be used.
And I've also been under pressure as well because his wife was a former nursery owner, garden centre owner as well. So, the pressure was really on me.
Well, I say, you know, being the positive sort of person that I am, known for it, I say that you're not to blame here. They should have checked that the batteries were up to date. The watering system.
I did get a walkthrough before they went. I have failed.
I was trying.
I fixed it though.
Mate, Scotty, thanks as always. A pleasure. We'll catch you next time around.
I'll talk to you then.
Graham and Joe, best of luck for the dinner table tonight.
Fingers crossed.
And another gardening tour back on the way next Monday from midday at 2NURFM 103.7.